2 weeks ago, during open mic sharing time, we heard from a young man who identified himself as Joe Abdallah, whose life circumstances prompted many of us to give him money after the service, and it was a significant amount of money. However, during the next week, we discovered beyond a shadow of a doubt that none of his story was true. I'm not going to use the sermon time to explain this beyond a shadow of a doubt language, but just trust me, and I'm happy to share details with you if you'd like to know why I say that. Regardless, we had been taken advantage of. If you want to use Shelley's language, we'd been tricked, and the harsher language is scammed or conned, and that is a bad feeling, to say the least. I know for myself, upon learning this, I felt foolish and less than competent for somehow not giving better leadership this morning as that came to us in this public venue during sharing time. Since then, I have heard a number of comments, questions, do we need a policy? Some people, more alert than I, said I knew it all along. But those aren't the things that prompt me to preach on it this morning. What has been fed back to me that prompts this sermon is what is going to happen to us and our spirit of generosity, which was so amply on display. What does this do to us? Will we now become stingy and suspicious? Good luck to the next person who comes here with a story like that, is what some people told me. How does one live with a spirit of extravagant generosity in a world of real need, which is also heavily populated with cheaters and criminals? How do you bring those together? In short, we were victimized once by a person who was allowed to play on our heartstrings, and I don't want to be victimized again. And we would be victimized again if we were again gullible, but we would also be victimized if our generous hearts were damaged and hardened. Neither of those two should be the outcome of this occasion. But how do you find your way between the two? I thought that I needed, as pastor at least, to ponder this with you today. All the answers, no. But I think we can at least look at our scripture and have some perspectives that will guide us. Shall we pray? Lord God, we will continue to live in this less than perfect world in less than perfect ways, but our prayer is for faithfulness in the measure that we might know it and live it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I found this text helpful, particularly because of the phrase which came to mind, which stands in tension, and that is, be shrewd as snakes, be shrewd as serpents, and be innocent as doves. Jesus instructs his disciples, go to the lost sheep of Israel. It's an interesting point. Why not to the Gentiles? Why not to the Samaritans? Eventually it'll be into all the world. That's not the point that we'll get into today. I guess that could be another series of teachings. But he says, go to the lost sheep of Israel. And so what he's really instructing them is to be engaged in the enterprise we are always engaged in, I hope, and that is, this is a missional enterprise. You who have the kingdom of God within you, go to those who are lost. Go, he tells them, to those who don't get it. And be right there among those people with my new message of how to be. Furthermore, he says, and I think this is crucial, make it personal. Go into their towns. Go into their villages. Enter into their homes. Rub shoulders with them. Get down to where the rubber meets the road. Be a part of their real life, and in doing so, be representatives of a new way. And the good things that you do, and these are mentioned, healing, helping, teaching, are to happen right in the middle of them. In a way, this is introductory, but in a way, this is foundational, I guess, or it could even be said this is at the center of things. That has not changed in 2,000 years. Being missional is not a defensive strategy. The opposite of the way of Jesus would be to live within protected enclosures, putting energy into keeping them out from us, making sure we aren't invaded, trying to keep them from having contact with us. And that is not what this text says, and in general, this is not the way of Jesus. It is only in seeking contact, goal, that the kingdom of God can be said to be at hand. The language we have today is the kingdom of God is based on personal relationships. The very people that don't get it, and that might be bad people, are the ones we are to go toward. So that hasn't changed, but unfortunately another thing has changed. There's a world full of sinners. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Unfortunately, there is another thing which has also not changed, and that is that we live in a world full of sinners, and some of them are pretty bad people who can do us harm. Jesus tended to reference people like robbers, but I'm talking about liars and cheaters, people who come to your door and say they're selling candles, people who Jesus said are not receptive to the way of Jesus. And he said, they're like wolves. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And these wolves persist in having evil hearts. And that brought us then to this marvelous phrase, which is embedded in this missional text. Be shrewd as serpents, innocent as doves, and be on your guard against men. So how do we hear this in 2015 in this wicked world, when a con man can come into a church and play on our heartstrings? How do you do both? How do you be shrewd and be on guard, but also innocent? How do we retain our generous hearts and not get taken advantage of? There's three principles in Matthew 10 which I think will serve us well at being shrewd and innocent, but I want to put in a bracketed comment which was prompted by Shelley's children's story. There are circumstances in this world in which we find ourselves on the spur of the moment prompted to give people help. Swipe that credit card. I can tell this woman is here and she forgot her money. I just feel like God led me to it. I am not excluding those from our repertoire. I hope that there are times when I will act that way as well. But for this morning, let me look in Matthew 10 at three principles which I think serve us well at keeping the tension in balance. Number one, the kingdom of God is based on relationships. Go into their towns, villages, and homes. What made Joe Abdallah's scheme so effective was the time element. We never carved out or made, and it would have been difficult, but it could have happened, carved out a time to visit with him, to ask questions, to hear the details of his story, to probe deeper about what might have occurred to us as inconsistencies. One could say, as I stand back and look at this, in almost every way, he remained to us a complete stranger. And thus, the events of the morning were possible. Our state of ignorance short-circuited any opportunity to be shrewd as serpents. So one place that I think shrewdness takes us is to direct our generosity to places where relationships exist. To someone who has been in the village and home of the person in need. Now, how do we do that? Well, on the one hand, that can mean that we should direct generosity to people that we know personally. It could be a neighbor, it could be a coworker, and so forth, and we can make good assessments. But really, where this took me, and this may surprise you, was the offering that we had this morning. Let me tell you how. It takes me to the point of being generous through the mechanisms of trusted organizations. So in cases of wanting to help the homeless, I know that Tom and Bonnie Lentz, who run the Jesus House, are as shrewd as they come. And so I can give money through the offering to the Jesus House to be given to people I don't know, but it is based on the relationships that people I trust have with those recipients. The same for the folks at Home Sweet Home Ministries and Salvation Army. These good folks have tried and tested ways to filter out deceptions. Further afield, take Lynn's children's story, a ministry moment, a perfect example. We don't even have names in most instances of what we're doing when we tell the children, here, come and put some pennies and we'll take it and we'll write a check and it'll go in the mail and it's going to help some people that we've never even heard of in Bangladesh, except Lynn's daughter is there with relationships. She's minding things, as it were. And she's able to assure us that she is on our behalf in the towns and villages and homes. And so when she comes then and wants to share out of the abundance of God's kingdom, whether it be through healing and helping or money, there is a very real sense in which that penny that goes in the noisy offering is being given on the basis of relationships. We trust that MCC personnel in other areas, when they request funds, like in a war-torn area of Iraq, we can track those funds, if we desire, to recipients who were vouched for by MCC or sister organizations. This kind of shrewdness, this way of being church, allows us to innocently give in good faith and with generous hearts. The opposite side of linking missional generosity with relationships is obvious. This means that one cannot give to everyone. In one sense, we're always saying no at some level to someone when we make choices. So even when, I would suggest that we ponder this, even when something pulls at our heartstrings, I think it behooves us to make relationships a priority in our choices. I can't give everywhere to everything. So where is it that we're in the home? We're in the village, we're in the town, we're able to assess. Now, back to two Sundays ago, if there isn't time to make a careful assessment, well, I would simply tell you this, the no time to think component is a powerful element of scams. Just to ponder. Secondly, sometimes in this wicked world in which we live, we must shake the dust off our feet and exit. In other words, say no. This might sound harsh, but I think one of the illustrations of the text is that the time comes where we quit doing good in a particular situation. The disciples had entered, they were healing, they were teaching, they took it to a certain point, their message was not received, and they were told to leave. We don't expect that out of Jesus. Quit doing good. And I'll get to it. That's not exactly what he was saying. But he was saying there are some situations in which we accept the reality of the choice of hardness of hearts made by others. This would probably come straight out of the Boundaries Sunday school class. The disciples were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Have generous hearts, spread the good news, touch lives. But, verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. At some point, if the relationship is only one way and exploitative, it is not ungenerous to stop investing in that relationship. Now, life isn't simple. Our Bible is a rich story of many situations with lots of complexity, and I am aware that we are to love our enemies, and we are to go a second mile, and we are to turn the other cheek. Those are also to be found in Matthew's gospel. Knowing when the time has come to say enough and no might not always be clear, but I would simply say to you, it is not unchristian to at some point say, Christians are not to simply waste generosity mindlessly. The time does come to say no. And so people, if they are thus and so, and if it is clear that this is not fruitful, then the responsibility for their circumstance remains with them. I am not responsible always for someone else's irresponsibility. So, with Joe Abdallah, there was a follow-up email. I've arrived in Lebanon. And I wrote back three words, and I said, seriously, Alan Farha, which is his real name? And then there was a voicemail. Oh, I'm not really in Lebanon. I took your money, and I'm really a cocaine addict, and I went to Chicago and spent it. And I wrote back and said, we want no more communication with you, because part of your resume we've uncovered is scamming recovery groups. And he wrote back to me, don't believe everything you read, and I haven't responded since. Sometimes you just shake the dust off your feet. But now we come to the end. And this would be the third point. And it's really where I started. Be shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove. I think we showed a tremendous generous spirit. It was the church at its best. And we backed it with a generous response. Now, because somebody took advantage of us, are we going to turn hard-hearted? Well, the third point of this text and the answer of our text is actually this. Leave that town, but the journey continues. Jesus was regularly rejected, and then he moved to the next town, and then to the next, and then to the next. Never once did Jesus say, well, I guess I'm just going to quit healing, preaching, holding children, and touching lives because of how badly I've been treated. We can't imagine Jesus saying, people are untrustworthy, and so from now on, I'm going to put my energy into building walls between me and the crowds. These crowds mistreated me. I've had enough of them. That's not his story in any way, shape, or form. Betrayal was not a signal for him to forego sacrificial love. His life was a missional journey, and our lives are missional journeys. And so it's a simple message. Move on to the next town. Healing, preaching, touching, loving, giving. You see, in this phrase that we ask, well, and I've been asked this, what's going to happen when the next person comes here? Well, the key words are right in that sentence. The next person. The next person is not the last person. The next person is not the last person. Now, with the next person, would I or would we put more energy into relationship building before handing over money? I would hope so, but there is nothing in what happened to us in the past which should preclude us from seeking relationship with a stranger and seeking to make them our friend. Joe Abdallah was the last person. Joe Abdallah isn't necessarily the next person. Followers of Jesus, I believe, are always coming to the next town. Shrewd, but innocent. The next person in need wasn't the last person in need, and to think otherwise, then that would mean the second victimization I mentioned. It would mean that our Christian hearts, ourselves, had been victimized and damaged. At the point that we said, I'm going to quit giving, and the real victim is us. So it's embarrassing. Kind of felt foolish. But I think we're to continue journeying, and I would simply suggest that we journey with that song in our hearts and that sign in our hearts that we help. I hope our spirit of helpingness or helpfulness or whatever the right word is hasn't been changed one bit. Maybe we've been enhanced a little in shrewdness, but I hope that our innocence is intact, and that we continue on the missional journey, which is the way of Jesus, into the villages and into the towns and into the homes, going in love, entering into relationships, and as generous with others as God himself was generous with us. Amen.